In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Win or lose, you get an instant dub. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code Bubba. New customers can get 150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on basketball. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code Bubba. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877. 8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369. In West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. Please play responsibly. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas, must be 21 or older in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast, the podcast, the podcast.
It's a podcast!
Big D and Bubba Podcast.
Oh, yeah. I'm waiting for the gold.
Is that a cat?
That's Megan, the screaming pug. Oh, it's one of the greatest noises on the internet.
Can you imagine having something in your house that makes that noise?
Somebody knocks on your door.
Man.
Have you ever seen foxes like being tickled?
No.
They laugh.
Yeah, they laugh. Like humans. Yeah, I have seen that. That's pretty
adorable.
Cool. Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm doing foxes tickled. Watch two ticklish foxes. They laugh like little kids.
That's adorable.
That's got to cure some kind of disease.
Yes.
And then they grow up, and then
they eat your dog.
They eat all your chickens and dogs.
All the squirrels.
Man, do you ever see a bird? You ever see a bird fall asleep on a branch?
Never.
No.
I've only seen it one time, sitting outside, and Kathy and I were just talking. I don't know, our back patio thing is screened in, and we're the back of the house is like it goes down a hill. So anyway, we're like eye level with the treetops. And I'm looking at this bird as we're talking. I was kind of making a mental note of what time it was. I look back about, I don't know, 2-3 minutes later, still there, not moving. And that thing's 15 minutes, still there, not moving. I was like, do you think it's dead? So I looked it up. Birds will sleep on branches.
Like standing up?
Standing
up.
Wow. And they just kind of grasp on, you know, and they're holding it. And his head never moved, or she, whatever, head never moved, the body never moved. It's kind of too far to see it breathing. So I was like, it's not dead, right? Like, it didn't, like, die and, like, seize up, and it's stuck on the tree, and I got to look at it every day. And then all of a sudden, it, I don't know, 20 minutes later, something woke it up, and it kind of looks around and flew off. It's the craziest thing ever. Almost as crazy as the time I saw the spider had caught a wasp in its net, in its web, and I can see the wasp is in the middle and it's struggling and it's all stuck. You know, when they get work, they try harder, they get stuck more. And I saw this spider come down from the corner, slowly getting closer and closer. And part of me said, D, record this video. This is going to be cool. I was like, yeah, you know, it's just going to
be. The other part was like, the circle of life.
Yeah.
Let it happen.
Yeah. You get it. And it got closer to it right when it was about to get to the hornet. The hornet completely detangles itself and hovers and then takes its stinger and went boom and killed and whatever.
You're saying it faked the whole thing?
It faked the whole thing, got untangled as soon as when the spider got close, went up to the spider, landed on it, and took its little butt poker.
Yeah.
And went plunk. And then it's kind of stood, and the spider kind of fought for a little while, and then it got slower and slower.
Oh, wow.
And then the wasp grabs it and flies away. I kid you not.
Wow.
I was like, what in the world? And then I kicked myself for not recording it. That would have been so cool.
Pretty good as a story.
I'm Googling wasp versus spider, and I'm trying to watch this.
I don't have to see it, Dottie. Wow. I lived it.
Oh, man.
One time, Chafe, I was sitting out on the same patio watching the bird to sleep.
Yeah.
And it was a storm. It was like winds are coming in and rain and whatnot. And something told me to take my phone out and record as I'm sitting there. I know. It's the weirdest thing. I take my phone, hit record, and within 5-10 seconds, I hear and a huge tree falls all the way across my property. Yeah. They used it on the TV news. I posted it, and somebody, one of the producers was like, hey, this is Zozo from Channel 4. You mind if we use your thing? I'm like, yeah, just make sure you put it to Big D and Bubba. Which they did not.
And they didn't. They just put your
I think they just put Derek.
Yeah. I had a tree crash into the front yard this spring because we had really bad wind this spring. Fortunately, I had parked my car up forward enough in the driveway that the tree went behind it. Mm-hmm. And it crashed into my front yard, and I got it all cleaned up that day. But if I had not pulled my car up.
And what made you do that?
Just because a branch of that tree had fallen down before.
Oh, okay. So, all right.
I just kind of gotten used to pulling that far up.
You weren't surprised.
Parents, while they were here for Thanksgiving, they had a tree fall in their driveway, and they would have been, you know, it would have hit the car and everything. And it was just weird that they were at my place. Normally, for Thanksgiving, I'm at their place. Yeah. And it would have probably been where it was parked, probably would have been my car that it would have fallen on.
Was it a Bradford pear you had?
I don't know what it was. All I know is
those Bradford pears came.
Yeah,
I think garbage trees. Four of those.
Yes.
Oh, we had.
They split.
Yeah, we had three of them, I think, and they all ended up. And my neighbor had two in his front yard, and they all as well.
But you mentioned the foxes earlier. I had a little fox family in my backyard for about 2 weeks this spring. First time ever, because I have a wooded area, and there were like four or five baby foxes frolicking around, playing around right before.
Like the little red foxes?
Yeah. It was actually really great.
Yeah. They'll hide in drainage sometimes, like on streets.
Yeah. My foxes didn't sound like that. This actually sounds a bit terrifying.
You think this sounds scary?
A little. Yeah, it sounds like it's one of those weird horror movies.
It sounds like
that
kids.
Is so
like
crazy.
You know, you hear like people talking about like they hear babies in the woods crying and all that.
Yeah, they're foxes.
Think
definitely
it's
that.
Foxes,
of course,
foxes. Just out there.
Oh, I always thought it was just like old Scottish folklore with changelings and stuff.
We have a place called Crybaby Cemetery at the edge of my town. Of course, it's what it is. Is the foxes laughing?
Yeah, or it could be, or the changelings or whatever you say.
It's not.
It could be on
that. It's not.
Oh, do you know the amount of women who their first crush was actually Robin Hood in the Disney animated movie, The Fox?
Because of the tights.
What?
By the way, the best Disney movie of all time is that one.
Really?
It's Robin Hood. It's my favorite, I should say.
It was my favorite until Aladdin came out, but yeah, it's definitely my second favorite.
Is it animated?
Yeah, it's animated, and it's the fox, Robin Hood. He's British and charming, and even though he's a cartoon fox, like, it's just for a lot of myself included.
Yeah, like a lot of us,
he was kind of our first crush, even though he was an animated animal.
Yeah.
We have this weird affinity.
I remember
for
that
him.
Now. Yeah. I remember that coming.
That's weird.
Oodalolly, oodalolly. Golly,
is this where
what a day.
Furby or furries come from?
Maybe.
I mean, I hope not.
I mean, Maid Marian was.
Yeah, she was a fox.
She was literally a fox. And that was my introduction to the great Roger Miller. Was that movie? Because he was the rooster who sang all the songs.
Okay. Really?
Looking at the Fox and the Hound characters, I have to pull this
Robin
up.
No, it's Robin Hood.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Robin Hood. I mean, there were a few Fox movies back in the day, to be fair, from Disney. But Robin
Hood.
Okay,
I'm looking at the Fox and. Really?
He's kind of a smoke show.
I mean, the dude was good looking, man.
That's a good looking Robin Hood Fox.
And also, have you ever seen where Disney used to recycle animation? So
they did it in Robin Hood
in the Jungle Book.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
Because if you have Little John is like a big, what is he, a bear?
Yeah.
And he kind of looks like, was it Baloo?
Baloo.
In the Jungle Book. So they reuse the animation And if you lay the scenes on top of each other, it's literally the same animation, just a little bit differences in the characters.
Work hey, smarter, not harder.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Garrett, do you ever want to get into, I know you Garrett's a really good drawer.
Artist.
Drawer. Do you ever want to get into like animation, or have you ever done it?
I mean, throughout school, like my entire dream was to like work for Pixar and, you know.
Yeah. Sorry about your current gig.
Yeah, so it's all right.
Did you just answer the question?
Sorry, you ended up
here. Yeah. So I have done a little bit of animation, not as much with you guys as I would like to.
Is it hard to do?
It's so hard to do, and it's very time-consuming, and a lot of people feel underpaid when they do it, because it's like you're working long days to get everything done. And
well, don't they have now where you can buy computer animation? Like, I need a dinosaur in this scene, and you can buy that, and it'll do certain things like animation?
Well, that's the thing. I think with the rise of AI, I think that it's going to change the game with animation, because you can kind of prompt AI to make an animation for you now. Mm-hmm. And it might not be like solid movie quality animation, but
not yet, but it will be.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, it's coming. There.
I was playing with the AI stuff the other day, and we kind of goofed about it here on the show, but I was doing the Bing thing, and you can do like the image creator, and it will draw you a picture of whatever. Like, you can say, in the style of Van Gogh, you know, do this, you know, show me a scene of whatever. And it will literally, it takes a minute or two, and it'll show you that scene, and you can download the picture. I'm like,
recently, that's what I've been doing for our podcast thumbnails, is I'll just, sometimes we talk about so many different things that I'm like, I don't know what to do, so I'll just type in a bunch of things that we talked about in the podcast, and it'll spit out an image that is semi-relevant to.
That's amazing.
That's so cool.
I'm looking up how many jobs will AI take.
Yeah, great. Let's add to the existential dread. That's awesome.
Holy, it's going to take a ton.
Yeah,
and we've talked about radio. You know, the thing with broadcast and AI is that it's pretty good. Like, I've heard AI reading podcasts and books and things like that, but it cannot. Maybe someday it will, but it can't deliver comedic timing. It's not good at that. It's very good at reading news prompts and that kind of stuff. But I watched this. It was like an animal thing. Like, you know, and the fox was running through the woods and doing a whole. They had a little AI thing doing it. And I'm like, man, this is actually really, really well done.
This says 85 million jobs worldwide will be affected, will be replaced by 2025.
Oof.
That's just a little more than a year away. But they also said, the report goes on to say that it will also create 97 million new jobs in the same time frame. And it's just saying that the technology is likely to reshape far more jobs than it replaces. So it just kind of changes how you, it's just like another tool. But there are some that are like, specifically roles such as technical writers, social science research assistants, proofreaders.
Technical writers are the people who write like instruction manuals and things like that.
Oh, right. Okay.
I have a cousin who does that.
Proofreaders, copywriters, and administrative positions are the most at risk.
So. Have you guys seen the movie Her with Joaquin Phoenix and where he like dates his AI computer, whatever? Everyone has these little earpieces, and it's basically like, imagine Siri in your ear, except not a robotic Siri. It's Scarlett Johansson in this case, and it's like a real person, and she has, you know, a sense of humor, and she has a wit, and like can talk to you like a normal person.
That's coming, man.
He like falls in love with his computer. And
porn will lead the way. And I know that's a terrible thing to say, but it's true. All major innovations on the internet stemmed from though people needing relationships and whatnot.
There's a thing I saw online. It was like an AI woman, and was like, "Hey, I can be your, you know, girlfriend,
your pretend girlfriend."
Yeah,
and they just to talk with and to have conversations with.
Yeah, and they've been doing it for a long time. Like, especially in Japan, there's like a big, I don't know why, but they have like, I was watching some documentary and a guy who like has this doll,
the real dolls.
The what?
Yeah,
the real dolls.
Yeah.
So look, in the style of Van Gogh, I did draw me
Why
a fox.
Why are you saying that again? Why
well,
are you saying
that's
Van Gogh?
That's how you say it.
Okay, no, you don't. No.
Yeah, actually, we say Van Gogh in America because we're American.
Yeah.
Look how great that came out.
You did a nice job.
I mean, it gave me four options.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, here's another one.
Oh, wow. I mean, you just did that?
Yeah, oof. I just told it to do it, and it was like, boop, 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 mm-hmm. boop. 60 seconds later, I've got four different foxes in the style of Van Gogh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
it's
really
also
cool.
fun to say Van Gogh.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy the stuff that they're going to be able to do. It's, I think, like I've noticed a lot of times, like on the AI things, like people post on their videos now, they're doing the same thing, like Garrett was just talking about. But like it does, I was watching this one military thing, and they had a soldier, and he had like three arms. Like he had an extra arm. He had an arm on the rifle and then two other arms. I'm like, that's an AI fail. And then, like, they had other people with, like, weird fingers. Like, you'll have, like, 12 fingers on one hand.
Yeah, fingers are rough. Fingers, for some reason, they have a harder time generating.
I wonder why that is. Like, wouldn't you think you could just tell the rule of, here's how a thumb should look, here's how the fingers should look.
I guess they're pretty intricate. And they're also noticeable when they're wrong.
Yeah.
You know, that because if you go on Instagram or TikTok and you see people with filters who, women that, almost look cartoonish in the way they've made their waist really small or their hips huge, and yet they still get all these likes and stuff that for some reason people believe in that. Like, there's no way this person exists in real life. It's not physically possible. But there's something about the fingers that just can't – that you can't do that kind of work on. They're harder.
Actually, this crazy thing this week, these people have started using, like, these – almost prosthetic fingers, like adding an extra finger to their hand, and then they'll go into a store and like steal things from a store, and they kind of use it as, if they get caught, they can just claim that, no, you doctored this. This is AI. Look, my hands have extra fingers on it.
What?
Mm. Wow, that's clever. Mm. That is. That's, man, imagine if they use their powers for good.
Yeah. Imagine if they applied themselves at a job.
He's an old man telling it like it is.
I mean, seriously. For real.
You guys are just so lazy. Your generation's just so lazy.
Man, I will say this. I tell my son this all the time. And Garrett, I think Garrett is a really hardworking dude for, 24? So, I mean, you know, you don't find people who work hard a lot. And when you do, they stand out. And I have a lot of hope for.
Yeah, man, I got a bunch of people that I grew up with that are lazy.
That's true. Like,
well, you think it was worse then, or just as bad then as it is now?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I kind of do. You can go back
to the 1800s and see newspaper ads complaining about, like, these people don't want to work, talking about young people. It's not racially motivated. It wasn't like Irish or something. It was the whole, it's always been propaganda. Like, the young people don't want to work. I mean, we can also reference a story that Dee has told us before when you guys started working together and you fell asleep at the bar.
Well, that wasn't lazy.
No, that was booze. But that's the point. Somebody in their 20s is out at night. They have a different life, right? So the point is, do they not want to work, or are they looking for something that maybe accommodates a different lifestyle than somebody in their 30s or 40s or 60s has?
Okay.
I do think phones take it to another level, though. This generation, because we have phones, it's way different.
And because you've always had phones. That's the interesting thing, too, is that, you know, like, I have a 22-year-old daughter. And she has always had a phone, basically her entire teen years and all of that. So it's not like us where we didn't have them until we were older. It's like now, it's part of who you are. You're inseparable. Like, Garrett, how often do you put your phone down and not touch it for a length of, not counting sleep, for a length of 8 hours or more?
It's been a while.
5 hours or more.
I mean, when I'm watching 7 hours of commercial-free football,
I know you. You're checking your bets.
Dude, that's
true.
That's true, though.
There's nothing better.
3 hours. That's what I'm saying. It's weird. Like, I did it the other day. I did a phone-free day, and it was awesome. I did it during the Thanksgiving holidays. I just put my phone down. My parents were in town. I'm like, I'm going to enjoy them and just hang out with my mom and dad because I don't know how many I'm going to have.
But then you picked up your phone because your dad was annoying you.
Oh, gosh, my dad. I love my dad. I really do. But whoo, he's a handful. And now I get it. So my sister is kind of like a caretaker. They have a combined home that, you know, they can be there to, you know, help if he needs any kind of things. And dad and mom have an apartment-ish kind of thing. Oh, my gosh. She calls me sometimes. She's like, I just need to talk to somebody else. She's like, I'm going to just vent. And yeah. She'll go off, and I'm like, Okay, well, you know, bring them by someday. You know, you're welcome to bring them here. And
you know, my mom and dad took in my mom's mom. She got older and started getting dementia and Alzheimer's, and it's kind of, you know, it kind of snowballs into all this stuff. And mom was in the process before she passed. She was in the process of writing a funny book about all the funny things that go on when you're dealing with someone with issues, like cognitive issues like that. And at the time, it was kind of a faux pas because everyone was kind of like,
nobody
make
talked
fun
about
of
it.
That. She's like, and it wasn't like making fun. It was, and it's. I would talk to other people who had the same situation where they're dealing with someone like that all the time. And they're like, man, you just have to, because funny things happen. There are really funny things that happen, and you know, I would rather take that away from it than always be a sad situation. But it's somewhere on. It was on an old word processor. Do you remember the word processors? They look like typewriters, but they were digital.
They
like
had a little screen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a little screen, and you would type out, and it would be on the screen, blah, 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 and it would save it. It had like a little, I guess, a disk, a floppy disk, maybe. I don't remember what it was, or maybe internal.
It was those Brother word processors.
Yes.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
Brother.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jim Brewer, comedian Jim Brewer, did that where he, when his dad was 85, they took a road trip across the country.
Oh, wow.
Just so he could spend that time with his dad. And yeah. I remembered, I looked it up. I guess this is the documentary. It's on YouTube. More Than Me, A Story of Growing Up and Growing Old. And it's basically, 2008. So I think this is it, where he goes out and travels across the country with his dad. Yeah, I'm skipping through. So it's out there if you want to see something like that. It was a really novel idea because, you know, he's hanging out with his 85-year-old dad, and there's all these little experiences, you know. I don't know. I haven't watched it, and I think I will. I want to take my dad to another baseball game. We used to do spring training. Remember, I would take off, and dad and I would go do spring training games.
Hey, I meant to tell you, have you seen the video of Morgan Wallen singing the Braves song?
Yeah, 94 Braves.
94 Braves. And he has a song about the 94 Braves and how blah, 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 and they all got together for a reunion at the stadium for whatever, the 94 Braves. All the players were there, and he sang it in front of them.
That's super fun.
Yeah. That's a really cool song, too.
I would have liked to have been there for that. That would have been
It's really neat because you can see all of them. You know, I don't know all the names here, but they show all the people that's, you know, in the song, and they show them as he sings. It's really cool. It's a really cool little video. And it was like I don't know. I just saw it like a week ago. So I think maybe it's kind of somewhat new. The song isn't that old.
I'm looking for, no, it's not, but I'm looking for, 98 Braves. I said 94. 98 Braves. I'm trying to see if in Atlanta. It doesn't say who's on stage with him, though. Still, that's cool.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, man. That's a great song, too. Just the whole idea of the song is great.
I know, man. These songwriters, I'm just like, really?
Sometimes you hear stuff. Sometimes you hear songs that just are like, man, that's a brilliant idea.
I think you would be good at that. I think you'd be good at coming up with, got the hook.
I think I could do the idea. Any songwriters who want to work with me, reach out. I feel like Patrick. Remember Patrick would do that all the time?
Oh, my God.
He would pitch songwriters. They would come in, and he'd be like, okay.
What?
Oh, yeah.
What did he want me to call Hardy one time? We called him. We're like, hey, man, we got this idea. I said, I don't know, man. I'm just going to give you the phone and let you talk to
it. And then it was Ernest we ended up.
Yeah.
So, but I'm just saying, if anybody needs an idea guy, I'm there for you. I've never written a song
when
in my life.
We had Red Farron in, and you and I were talking, and I said some line. He goes, that's a great line. He got out his phone, And he goes, I'm writing this down. There's an idea for a song. And he goes, okay, what's your name? What's your contact in case it comes of anything? I want to make sure I can call you.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Good on him.
Nobody's ever done that to me.
Yeah, they just take Bubba's stuff and run. Or that's they go, right. Oh, yeah, that's great. Thanks, Bubba. Bye. I just realized that Ernest looks like McAfee on ESPN.
He does. Yep. 100%.
It just hit me. Yeah. Bubba said Ernest, and I looked up, and there he is. Yeah. Golly, I'm so sick of seeing this guy.
God, yeah,
him
know.
And Kelsey.
And oh, hold on now.
Oh,
hold on.
No. Here we go.
It's the same.
Trigger
and for
word.
A while, it was Gronkowski.
Love him, too.
He was on everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I cannot. Y'all, I cannot get enough of Travis Kelce. I will watch that podcast. I will watch the clips of the podcast. Of the podcast I've already watched. But I'm going to watch more clips. And then I'm going to watch Taylor Swift, like not even conspiracy theories, but when did they really start dating? And oh my, that's it. That's all I want to know about. You know, everything else in this world is like a bummer and hard. This just feed me them.
Right.
It is bubblegum, and I just love it
it's
so
like
much.
Your American royalty.
Yes, like yes, 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 yes. Yeah, because the royal family over in England is so messy right now. I don't want to deal with them. And Kate. Her outfits are not given. They're not given good looks lately. So.
Really?
Nah. She.
Kate is slipping.
She's in her shoulder pad era, and it's.
Oh no.
It's, yeah, she's very pointy shoulders.
I haven't seen this.
She likes the capes. I'm a big fan of the capes. She's a little too matchy matchy.
I've been saying I want to start wearing a cape because, like, there was a time when gentlemen, like maybe 200 years ago, but gentlemen wore capes, and I think, man, that would be cool to bring capes back. And then, like, the cosplayers would think you're cool because they'd be like, dude. Nice cape.
You can do that. You can do
that. Where in the world am I going to get a cape?
You make one.
You figure it out.
Oh, Carson is right.
I have a cape.
I think we all
have
a cape.
I have a black velvet cape with red satin lining. I wear it to formal events.
Babe, but that's like a vampire cape.
No, but I wear it to formal events. So, because to cover a dress.
You didn't say what kind of cape. You just said cape.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're being particular.
Yeah,
I like chocolate
cape.
You ever been to Cape Cod? I think it's time. I think it's time to put the kicking team on.
This was a podcast. No,
we're punting. We're punting.
Oh, are we punting?
Yeah, we're punting.
Are we done?
Yeah, who really? Don't you put on?
I didn't put anybody on the end of this week's podcast because I was like, you know what?
We're good enough.
We're
enough.
Are we not enough? Or are you not enough?
No, you can put Bill Engvall at the end of the podcast. You can do something.
All right. I will.
Yes,
no,
can.
I can't. I was
yes,
going to, but
you still
I can't.
Can.
I've got
Why?
Frank Sinatra in the middle of that. So, the whole beginning is like. And no, because he's stepping away from comedy and all that.
So you can edit that part out and say, hey, I had to edit this out.
Because
here's
we
Bill
don't have the rest for. Here's Bill. And then you go from there.
Yeah.
Or not. It
I'll,
doesn't
I'll
matter
do
about
that. I will do
you,
that.
It's up to you, man.
You know what? Hey, it's all good. You know what? You can put Ryan Larkin's in there.
I'm going to do just, it's good. For those of you who are listening on an app, we do have. The Bill Engvall, I'm speaking from the future. I'm time traveling right now.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to edit. I feel like Michael J. Fox. Hey, Doc, I'm going to edit in Bill Engvall at the end of this podcast. Now, if you're watching on video on YouTube, you're not going to see it.
You're not going to see it. But you only can do this because you have
Doc,
a cape.
It's a DeLorean. You made a time machine
also,
out of a DeLorean?
Also, did you guys see the Back to the Future Broadway?
No.
Thing during the Macy's parade, you know, they make the Broadway people before the.
I did see that.
Back to the Future on Broadway now.
Yeah, and they actually do Power of Love and Back in Time are both in the play.
Power of Love is one of the greatest songs ever,
but I love Huey Lewis,
not Me the too. Huey Lewis version. There is a version by one of my favorite. Hold on, Power of Love, November.
Are you trying to take my joy again? What are
no,
you doing?
You're going to love this.
Right,
go and find the Power of Love acoustic guitar, the early November. You're going to love
it. No, I won't. It's fine. I can already tell you I won't. So last time I saw Huey Lewis, he actually complained about Power of Love.
Why?
And he goes, he's like, oh, you know, they asked me to write a song for a movie, you know, however many years ago. Didn't know I'd have to still keep playing it all this time. And I was like, Huey Lewis, are you mad? You big mad, bro?
I don't like whenever artists hate their own songs.
I know. I was very comfortable because, Huey, this is what we're all here for, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I highly recommend at some point, and you guys write this down. If you're in the car, I'll teach you a little trick, and this is great. Rub the side of your nose, and then you can write on your window. And you're just going to do it with the oil on the side of your nose. And then like you just walk up to your
this
window.
This was the podcast, and now it's
no,
over.
It's a great. I've done it
a million times. Hey, everybody, yeah. Kicking team, let's go.
Let's go.
Let's kick it.
Early November, Power of Love. Check it out.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay.
Yes, it is okay.
Listen to the regular show.
I'm still rubbing my nose.
On the radio every day.
Good God.
What a mess.
Train wreck.
Wow.
One edit later.
Yeah. I can remember coming in there, and it was just the three of us, and now you guys are all big time.
I don't know.
Maybe the address changed. I didn't get any invitations for parties, nothing. But
we did. Oh, we send those out all the time.
Yeah, yeah. We Foxworthy got one. Lair got one.
Damn it! I wonder if the mailman just lost it.
Could be.
I never saw it.
It happens.
Bill Lingvall is our guest. All right, so he is calling it. Quits the final show, the last show, but you can see it. We'll tell you how. Well, Bill Ingvall next. You see, I can't wait till you're gone. That way I don't have to say your name. It throws me off every time.
And has
Bill
for 20-something years.
Ingvall. Bill Ingvall. Bill Ingvall is our guest promoting the December 5th release of the very last comedy show ever. It's for him. Here's your sign. It's finally time. My last show. Bill, first off, thanks for coming on. And why are you calling it quits?
Just because I knew you and I, you guys and I have talked over the years many, many times. And I've been so lucky to get to do everything I wanted in this business. And I wanted to go out on my terms. And that term was I wanted to go out when people still wanted to see the show.
Yep.
I never wanted to be that act that people go, oh, he just mailed it in. So I just decided it was time. You know, it was 42 years of doing what I love to do. There was a moment I just knew it was time. And so we put together this last special, the Here's Your Sign, It's Finally Time, my last show. Filmed at New Year's Eve, Salt Lake City, had two sold-out shows, and my son introduced me. It was the magical way to go out.
Yeah.
Has your son ever introduced you on stage before?
No. That was one of those dad moments. I could have gone Sappy Sally. But yeah. I had to walk away when he came up to me and said, can I introduce you on your last show? I was like, oh, my God. And I don't know if it was the words, the last show, or can I introduce you? But either way, it hit me pretty hard.
Like a Folgers commercial. Do you remember when when you came up with the Here's Your Sign gag?
Yeah, the very first one was the flat tire one that was on the original Here's Your Sign I rented a car and Drip was driving down to see my dad, and I had a flat tire, and I pulled the car into one of these little side of the road gas stations, and this attendant guy walked out, looked at my tire, looked at me, and said, "Tire go flat?" And I said, "No, I was driving around, the other three just swelled right up on me."
Here's your sign.
But the kicker was, the best part is right after I said that, he looked at me and he goes, "Well, the heat'll do that."
Nice.
Well, these new, they don't make them like they used to, Bill.
No, they got all silicone now.
Yeah.
No,
do you remember this, D, as we're looking back?
I think they get the picture. Why don't they
Travis Tritt
Travis.
And Bill Ingvall.
Travis Tritt!
Travis Tritt!
So you people with the mitzy, fitzy, teensy, winky, tiny.
Man, here's your sign.
People with them little bitty, teeny, weeny, tiny minds. Here's your sign.
We were trying to sell our car, buddy.
Dude, you did a song with Travis Flippin' Tritt.
I'll tell you a funny story about that. At the time the song was we were talking about doing a song, I was on tour with Joe Diffie and John Michael. And I asked Joe if he would sing the song. And he said, yeah, man, I'd love to. So he said, I got to go to the record label people. And he told the president of his record label, and he said, the president said, no, you don't want to be a part of some novelty song. And so he said, no, they won't let me do it. So I asked Travis. He said, yes. Here's Your Sign was like 10 or 11 weeks on the number one on the country chart. Every time I saw Diffie after that, he'd go, yeah, every time I see that record label, I go, good call on that novelty song.
It's ironic. He was going to say, well, here's your sign. Well, it's coming out.
Yeah,
it's... December 5th on Netflix. It's Bill Engvall. Here's your sign. It's finally time. My last show. Go watch it and stream it and enjoy the beauty that is Bill Engvall. And we always love talking to you, Bill. Thank you, man.
Thanks for all these years,
for sure,
guys,
man.
Thank you so much. And you guys, you'll never know how much I appreciate the support you've given to me and the guys over the years. And God bless you two guys. You're two of the good guys.
Back at you. Hey, that's nice. We just got God blessed by an ordained minister.
Oh, that's right. We forget about that. He's he's going to get to heaven first.
Hold the door for us.
Hold the door. We're coming. Bill Engvall, everyone. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, guys.